Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
the podcast that makes everything interesting again.
Yeah. Welcome to 2020, the year when everything, you know, I listen to this thing, every morning every morning during the week, because Darren Hardy puts out his Darren Daly's Monday through Friday. And I listened to his this morning and he said, in January of 2020, if somebody had told you that we would not be able to, and he just went through the list of, we wouldn't be able to hug somebody. We wouldn't be able to go to the beach. We wouldn't be able to go walking on a trail. We wouldn't be able to go to church. We wouldn't be able to handshake, like all these things. None of us would have believed it.
No. Gosh. So this episode, I did invite Keith. I think he's afraid.
Yeah. I don't know if any man ever wants to get in the middle of two women fighting.
Unless it's in mud or jello.
They still don't want to get in the middle of it because they don't want it to stop. They want it to keep going and see what happens.
So we're bringing this episode out, Warners, because this is like some true life shit that happened between Rachel and I, and we decided to pull the curtain back, let the camel under the tent, something like that.
What? There's a camel under the tent? What the fuck is that? There's not. Okay.
It's some kind of phrase. You like stick your nose under the tent. I don't know. Someone will correct us on the phrase.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. The camel under the camel toe sticking out from under the tent.
Is your camel toe showing?
Best not be.
Is that the name of this episode? You know, before we started recording, you said, should we just stay away from the race thing? And so I'm going to put it back out there. Because my response was, before I said, well, let's just start recording, is that was a trigger point or a, that was a trigger. That was a catalyst. It was a catalyst.
Okay, rewind just so our listeners know. Gina and I were going to break up recently. And this episode, we're talking about the reasons why we were going to break up and the reasons why we decided not to. Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
Perfect. I love that. I love that. You got straight to the point there.
So now continue.
On this rogue episode. So what's going on from a racial unrest standpoint and what's going on in our world right now was a conversation that we were having around whether or not to do an episode on that. And that led, I think, and so this is going to be a very kind of open discussion. We've already kind of pre-discussed this, so I think we're pretty good. I don't think we're going to get into a fight on this.
I don't know. Y'all might see a cat fight. I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Okay, well, both will have to be topless for it if we do that. That's the agreement. There we go.
I hope you're ready because these things they're paid for.
So are these. So are these. So having the discussion over whether or not to do an episode on that, just to kind of keep it, I'm not going to go into total detail. I mean, we can, and maybe we want to, but we don't necessarily have to. The point is that it was a catalyst in a breakdown in communication and a breakdown in understanding. And that led to me receiving an email from Rachel. And for those not watching, she just put her middle finger up.
That was kind of what the email was like.
Oh, that's the first time you're actually saying that. So it was like a fuck you email.
Not well. It was actually more like It was sort of meant to be a middle finger email in a way, because I was angry, and we can talk about why. I think it's important, and mm-hmm. I'll get to the reasons why I think we should talk about why in a second. But it was also like, it was more like, to reference Donnie when we were on his badass podcast the other day, that's more like throwing a grenade over the fence and running, because I knew
Donnie's fault.
Yeah, I knew that. Well, I knew I was going to send you that email while we were in the middle of Donnie's podcast.
No wonder you had that resting bitch face.
Yeah. I did too. I knew that there would be further discussion when I sent the email, and it was a little bit cowardly, I'll admit. And ultimately, you and I both had to come to Jesus, if you will, and had a discussion, and Gina and I had a conversation. Like, I was fully like, I'm quitting the podcast, I'm done, I'm over this. And when we started having the conversation over the weekend, it did get to that point where I was like, yeah, I'm done, still done. And then we broke through that barrier, and then came to the point of like, okay, actually there's a lot more there than meets the eye. Yeah. And so we got on the phone, and the discussion did get emotional and heated a little bit. And then we were able to talk through it, which is a hard thing to do. Most people would rather get into arguments and be right. I'm also one of those people. And, but, you know, Gina and I have been through enough shit together that we could try to step back and hear the other person. It's a really hard thing to do. And I think, you know, some relationships are worth fighting for. And sometimes when people don't want to, they just want an out. They're not willing to try to talk through it and try to find a solution and try to go, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. And so that, you know, can segue into really the reason why this all came up. And a lot of it had to do with the current issues on racism and George Floyd and some of the varying opinions out there about it. And what made me so upset was I felt like the direction of what we were thinking about for the podcast to address the issue was coming at it at an angle that didn't feel right to me. And it felt, it just didn't feel like a stance that I wanted to take. And since then, I feel like my entire life has an undercurrent right now of trying to research and educate myself on this whole scenario, which is really interesting. And part of it is from when the first riots happened in Minneapolis, I was having a really rough business day, and I laid down to take about a 10-minute nap because I just felt like that's what I needed. And I didn't really go to sleep, but I just laid down for a minute to rejuvenate. And then I got up and I was sort of scrolling through Facebook real quick, and saw a post, and this was very early on. It was some imagery of the riots in Minneapolis. And one of the images was two black men that were standing by an ATM machine. Were they robbing it? Were they not? Not sure, but the ATM machine was destroyed. And my comment on that post, of my Facebook friend's post, was, I feel really awful about what happened to George Floyd. How does breaking into an ATM justify that? And it incited a great deal of upset strangers who were dissecting my moral character and basically misinterpreting that I thought that an ATM machine mattered more than the life of George Floyd and the cause of Black Lives Matter and all this, which was very far from the truth. I tried to defend myself, and that made things worse. So I just walked away from it, and I got off of Facebook for a couple of days. I did some research. I talked to some other Black associates and clients and friends, and I went and watched When They See Us on Netflix. Highly recommend, especially if you're a white person. And then I actually went back to that gentleman whose post I had commented on originally, and then we had a really good discussion. And it didn't end in he and I being mad at each other. It ended in me saying, you know what? I see where you're coming from. I took a misstep and I have since been educating myself. And now he and I think are, I mean, even though it's like a Facebook friendship, I think that there's a certain closeness now for me actually admitting that I was wrong about what I said and did. And I think that there's a lot of that going on social media right now. And that was part of what caused the misunderstanding, the miscommunication between Gene and I, because we're all taking what we see on Facebook and we're all throwing opinions out there right now, and it's causing problems.
Yeah. And I think that when I got the grenade, the email grenade, it was so funny because I was like sitting at happy hour with a friend and I saw it and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even say anything to that friend that was sitting next to me. I was like, all right.
Can I have another, please?
I'm like, I was like, all right. And I read through it, which was very long, and it like had like a variety of points of why Rachel didn't want to be on the podcast. And then in there was like, and this has nothing to do with whether or not to do an episode on race. And I was like, this has everything to do with it. Are you kidding me? Like, that was, to me, I'm like, that triggered it. That was the catalyst of it. That wasn't everything. But sometimes when we go into this, and you said this over the weekend, you got to a place of overwhelm. When we get to a place of overwhelm, sometimes we want to run from things, or like, all right, let me just get rid of this thing in my life because it's one more thing I don't want to deal with. So let me find reasons to get rid of it. And I think it was a catalyst, which was good for us to have that, to get to a breakthrough, because we actually had I had some other unresolved issues that I didn't realize were pulling me down in our relationship. So this kind of reopened that Pandora's box for that to get resolved, which I feel so much better about, because I felt like I was living my relationship with you falsely for like the past 8 months, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a good catalyst to get us started in conversation, but it is a really good example of what is going on in this world. And so we decided, like, let's do an episode on this, because how many other relationships are in jeopardy right now? Because of fucking social media. Seriously. And you and I talked about, like, people are posting things, all of us are posting things that we may not have ever normally posted before. That's out of character for all of us.
Couple of things, and I'll give this example, and then I want to come back to running away. I'm going to hold this finger up right here so I come back to running away.
Running away.
Something really interesting to add to that. But right now, people are using Facebook as a platform it's a really easy platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, not so much, because you have to like think about what you're going to post. And it's not, that's why I live on Instagram a lot more right now. It's a place where you can kind of vent your emotions, and sometimes you can, your opinion can be validated, and sometimes you can start and fight. Yeah. Now, Facebook's algorithms right now, they like fights and they like engagement. So, you know, the most inflammatory posting right now is getting the most engagement, and that's probably why you're seeing it, because that's what Facebook algorithms like. Yeah.
Which only makes it worse.
And it really, here's a great example of why you might want to reconsider what you're posting and what your motivation is. Go to your spouse or your best friend and bitch about your strong opinions. It's not necessarily the best way, especially if you're in business, to bitch publicly about your opinion, because I've got someone very close to me who, she is currently looking for a new hairdresser because her hairdresser has been ranting and raving on Facebook about the fact that she thinks that coronavirus and COVID-19 is a complete hoax. She is resentful about the fact that she's supposed to be taking certain precautions and wearing a mask, and she refuses to wear a mask when she's working because she doesn't believe that coronavirus existed. That's fine and well and good, and that's your opinion. However, I'm not a hairdresser, and I kind of think there's some guidelines that DHEC has put in place, number one. But number two, this individual is looking at this Facebook friend's post going, Well, I am of the age group that I am concerned about coronavirus. And if you're not going to comply with what you need to do and wear a mask, then I'm going to find a new hairdresser. So in business, and secondly, another example, I have my opinions about the current world events, and I respect your opinions on current world events. But if I see somebody out there blatantly saying that human lives in general, I'm just going to say it because I think a lot of us are not saying what we need to say. If I see someone post that they think that somebody should be run over with a car, despite, don't care what your opinion is, I'm not doing business with you anymore. Because, you know, and then going to my running away. So I'm and just stop me when you need to, Gina. I'm listening right now to the audiobook of her name's Robin DiAngelo, and the book's called White Fragility. And I think it should be required reading for all white people, because there's a lot of people out there saying, trying to counterbalance Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter. And, you know, there's a lot of great analogies out there right now about the fact that All Lives Matter is actually a bit of a slap in the face for the Black Lives Matter movement.
A lot of people don't realize that, though.
And they don't realize why. Tell us your experience with that and how you were educated on that, Gina.
Yeah, I was in a training session, and I think it was on diversity of all things that I was leading. And somehow the All Lives Matter came up, and I was coming from, and I think a lot of us are coming from this place. And if you're going to beat me up about it, then you can, whatever. Here's the thing. I will stand by this. I think a lot of us are ignorant and that we do need to get educated. And then I've even seen this on Facebook, people admitting like, I'm ignorant and I need to be educated. And then them getting slammed for that. It's like, you just can't win. And the point is that a lot of us are ignorant. So I had raised the issue of like, well, what's wrong with saying hashtag All Lives Matter? Because at the end of the day, it's about being human and being good humans. Like, why do we see color? And there are some of us that are truly like, I call it ignorant or call it naive. I thought like all lives should matter, but I was educated quickly by someone who is Black who said, no, it's a slap in the face. Because this has been our oppression, and you saying all lives matter now negates or takes away from this is the issue. And so when that was brought to my attention that way, I was like, oh, okay, totally get it.
Two very good examples that I saw on social media this week. Number one was in terms of the All Lives Matter thing. If imagine that you're standing giving the eulogy for your child, and someone grabs the mic and says, but you know what? All children's lives matter. There's example number one. Example number two was, it was a TikTok that was meant to be kind of funny, but also very instructional in that it was a girl and she was like doing one voice. She's like, oh my God, where are you going? And the other girl's like, well, we're going over here because this house is on fire. And the first girl's like, well, what? I mean, what about my house? And she's like, well, your house is not on fire. We're over here helping this house, these people with this house, because it's on fire. And the first girl's like, well, my house matters. All houses matter. You know, and that's kind of what the All Lives Matter thing is doing.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
And furthermore, one reason that this White Fragility book is so powerful is that the author is a diversity trainer, and she gets into it will blow your damn mind if you're a white person, because she really gets into the fact that the people that are out there that are saying, I don't see color, all lives matter, I have Black friends, I'm not a racist, these are actually the most, not that they're dangerous people, they're mostly educated people who are really trying, but they're the people that are actually brushing aside the issue. The issue is that racism is not an actual event. Racism is not embodied in one single atrocity. Racism is a structure that we have set up as a society to keep certain minorities in their place, if you will. And she gets into that, and it's really eye-opening how quickly we will, as white people, brush it aside. Well, I don't see color. And this morning I was listening to it as I was walking, and she said in her diversity training, the black man who was her partner in the training was like, when you say that you don't see my race, then you're not helping me. Because it's not true that you don't see my race. You're saying that because you want to feel good about yourself, that you don't think that you're a racist. And how often do we do that? And how is our society structured so that certain races of people can't actually get to a certain status because of the way that the structure of society, and I'm not really talking about politics, there's no way I can illustrate it as well as Robin does in her book, but it is super eye-opening. Just think about it the next time. And I think this is where the progress can be made, because David Goggins, he did a great video on this too. Go check out David Goggins' video. He says, the change is not going to come from black people. The change is going to come from white people. And he's like, I hate to admit it. I really do. But that's where the change is going to come, when white people actually admit that in the past I have said something that was racially disparaging. I have walked past two black men and been a little nervous about what was going to happen. I have chosen where I wanted to buy my house because of the neighborhood, because it felt more safe. All of these types of things that people have to, it's uncomfortable. And it's not necessarily, it's definitely not that my parents taught me wrong. As a matter of fact, oh my God. Okay. I'm going to share a story right now I've been thinking about. So when I was a child, and I was probably a little younger than Roxy, I received the worst spanking of my entire life. And I'm not proud of this, but I'm going to share it because I think that this is the kind of stuff that is ingrained in white people that they want to pretend like doesn't exist. So I was at soccer practice, and my dad's picking me up from soccer practice, and we're all, like, all the parents are there. We're coming down the hill. I always remember this. Like, there was like this hill that you went up to go up to this big field above the school. And I come walking down this hill, and I yell across the parking lot to my friend. And I don't remember if it was me, which word I used and which word she used, but I was like, see you later, honky. And she goes, see you later, and used the N word. Now, again, I'm not sure which one used which, but we yelled this at each other across the parking lot. All the parents were there, including some, you know, black kids that were on my soccer team. And my dad was horrified and took me home, and I got the worst spanking of my life. Now, I don't know that the discussion
back in the days when spanking was allowed.
Oh, and I fucking deserved it too for that ridiculous atrocity. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, I don't think that we actually sat down and had the discussion of why that is wrong. Everybody knows that using the N-word is wrong. And I don't even feel comfortable saying it at all. But the fact of the matter, there's plenty of white people out there, probably some that are listening, that have used that word. And, you know, one of the discussions I had with a very educated black woman last week, because I've been having these discussions with anybody who is black and who will talk to me. And she said, you know, it's part of what is keeping society down is the fact that black people even use that word in their own environment. You know, is that keeping a certain, it's like calling yourself fat, in my opinion. And I don't know, because I'm not black, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to call yourself fat, you know, you're going to stay fat. But if you're going to use a word that was created by white supremacists to make black men and women feel small and insignificant and feel less than, I mean, it's just a terrible word. And it gets thrown around. It's used in rap and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's interesting too, because I'd love to hear more on that perspective of,
yeah,
you know, we hear about this in comedy, you know, in general. I mean, we do improv comedy, but we're super careful with what we do at a show. But stand-up comedians, you know, there's kind of like a rule of thumb that you can't do fat jokes unless you're fat. You can't do black jokes unless you're black. Like, the self-deprecation typically comes from that person, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you don't want to attack another group of people.
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review. Please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
Well, and this goes back to, again, why are we sectioned off into groups of people? I mean, fat people come in all colors, so there's that. You know, that's our usually our choice, but that's a whole nother podcast. But why do we section ourselves off? And what is the social construct that created this? Because guess what? It wasn't actually white Americans who created the racial divide. What was it in white Europeans that made them decide, hey, we're going to come over to America and we're going to purchase black men and women from Africa and make them our slaves? Like, why did they decide that that was the group of people they were going to select? And then, you know, the things that are just so small and subtle that children learn right away. Mm-hmm. You know, in this book, she goes into just your own birth, you know, the experience of your own birth. When, as a white person going in to have a baby, you're not worrying about whether or not the doctors and nurses will treat you a certain way because of the color of your skin. Mm-hmm. And the white privilege thing, it really is pissing off some people. I know that until you actually start getting into some uncomfortable territory and looking at the reason that Black America is bringing up white privilege. If you are willing to open your eyes, and you know, some people are not willing to open their eyes because they kind of like how it is, let's be honest. But if you're willing to open your eyes and really accept that, yes, I am super duper privileged. Number one, because I grew up in a great family, but number two, because I'm a good looking white woman. Nobody crosses to the other side of the street to avoid walking past me.
True.
Nobody comes up and asks me and follows me around the store when I'm shopping to make sure that I don't have bad intentions.
Like, except that one time when you had like some steaks under your shirt.
Right? Those weren't steaks.
Those are cutlets.
Right? Another thing that I'm going to bring up is after that scenario happened on Facebook where I was clearly, you know, I took a misstep, and I really, really have been trying to educate myself and looking at my own actions and reaching out and having these uncomfortable conversations. And they actually were only uncomfortable for a second, calling up some of my black realtor partners and then some, like I said, some black clients and some black friends that I've known for many, many years, and just saying, hey, how do you feel about what's going on? And 100% of the people that I've talked to were, number one, taken aback that I asked, and number two, grateful that I asked, and then also said, nobody's asked me how I feel, much less some white woman. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, all of them. And so then it opened up some really interesting conversations about what it actually is like to be black in America. And one of the individuals, you know, she and I have been friends for more than 20 years, and we had a really great discussion. But we've been friends for 20 years, and we never talked about the racial differences in our lives at all. And she was really grateful that I reached out. And as a matter of fact, you know, I told her, I was like, I'm quitting the podcast because this and that and that. And she's like, yeah, do it. And then she turned around the next morning, like literally 5 minutes after I sent that email, she sent me a text and was like, maybe you shouldn't quit the podcast. Maybe you should use this as an opportunity to talk about this stuff. And she said, you need somebody to give, you know, the perspective of what it's like to be Black in America, then you just call me. Or I got plenty of Black friends that would love to, you know, give their perspective. But the fact of the matter is, it's an uncomfortable, one of my clients said it was a sticky situation to talk about because you don't actually know where someone stands. And that's okay.
And you know, and this was sort of the, this is where we had some kind of misunderstanding and falling out on all of this. You know, when we created this show and what this show is about, right? First of all, we're women your mother warned you about. That right there says something. Right. The point, and I think you and I agreed on this, like if you really just cut it down to the universal truth of this, is that we wanted to create a show that would help other women level up in business and in life, period. And sometimes there's going to be disagreements or a controversy or a difference of opinion. But the other thing that we are both strong in is standing in your value of who you are and having a voice. So that's, to me, that's always what it's been about. And doing a show on getting different perspectives, like I wanted to bring on two different people. One, we knew was like really out over on the other side of the spectrum. And I think that was part of the triggering of all this. I wanted to bring on two voices that could be help, who could be part of the conversation, who could help lead us, you and I, white women, to a better place. And once I let you kind of talk that out and understand like where some of your feelings were coming from, where some of your emotions were coming from, keep in mind, you were also pretty attacked on social media a couple days prior. So I think that was part of the rawness in you, is that you didn't, I think deep down that kind of affected things.
Yeah. And I think that that's affecting a lot of us. I mean, is it possible that all of the incredible stress that people are under with the pandemic?
Yep.
Of COVID-19 has fueled the fire, so to speak, of people are feeling about all of this.
About everything.
And I am not diminishing what is going on in the Black Lives Matter movement right now, but I think that just emotions feel so raw all over right now that we aren't able to necessarily hear other people.
Mm-hmm. Because we're stuck in our own head. And we're stuck in our own, what's paining us, concerning us, worrying us. All of us are in that place. And that's where I was feeling like, I don't think I'm getting through to her. I'm like, I'm not trying to create controversy here. I'm trying to create a platform for voices. I'm like, why are we so disconnected on this? And I think there was, you know, a part of you that wanted to make sure you were doing the right thing, and you were concerned that we wouldn't be doing the right thing and we might take a misstep in it. And mm-hmm. we're on the same page here. We have the same, like we want the same thing. And it just, we were having a hard time getting that across to each other. Or at least I was having a hard time getting it across to you. And at one point I'm like, hey, we don't have to do an episode at all. Like, forget it, drop it. Like, I don't want it to cause this much grief and animosity between us. I just saw it as an opportunity to give some Black women a platform to share their voices. That's where I was truly coming from. But again, to your point, we are so raw that I think so many of us, our heads are spinning. Like I'm like, God, if I post something about have a nice day, is that going to piss somebody off? I don't know. There was another 9 deaths today. If I say have a nice day, who's going to be upset with me? Like that's how crazy.
Yeah. I think there is a lot of that. And I think, and from watching, especially right after that, incident where I kicked the hornet's nest accidentally, I was really watching what some public figures were posting on social media and really observing what all sides were posting. And a lot of people were not sure what to say. And
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to come across as insensitive. And, you know, you don't want to come across as pandering of like, I'm a white woman and I stand with you. Like, you know.
There's plenty of that going on, too, which is a little annoying to me.
It's and the bottom line is there's no wrong step as long as we're stepping in the right direction, I think. And but yet it's hard to know what is that. I mean, I talked to my friend again, who I've been friends with for years, and I said to her,
the one that you said you were quitting, and then you said you're not quitting.
Yeah. I don't want to pull her name into it. She knows who she is.
Yeah, you don't have to pull her name into it. But I hope I hope she doesn't have a completely different picture of me because
no,
well, it doesn't matter.
She's cool. I said to her, I am walking around in the world right now, and maybe I'm just, you know, this is me. I'm like walking around in the world and like I see, you know, Wilhelmina, who is the woman at the gas station. I love her name, Wilhelmina. I just love saying it. And she's a black woman. I see her all the time going in buying Twix for my kid and Kickstarts for me. And, you know, I just want to go and hug her and say, like, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say. You know, what do you say and say, God, I can't possibly be understanding what she might be feeling in this world. And so I asked my friend, I was like, what? I see, you know, a young black man working in the grocery store and I just want to go up and hug him. But that's awkward. He'll be like, what the hell is this crazy white woman doing? And I said, what do I do? What do I say? And she said, just like what you did with me. She said, just say, I stand with you, or ask them how they feel. And, you know, it's more a matter of, and again, Robin DiAngelo addresses this in the book. Sometimes it's like white America just kind of, it's a, like, oh, we just don't even see you at all. Or, oh, we don't see your color. But the fact is that, yes, you do see different colors. And we need to see different colors, because if you say you don't see another person's race, then how can you see racism if you're not actually looking for it? Because if you're sweeping it under the rug and not actually acknowledging that, yes, we have been different for a long, long time, and I want to be part of making this right. What can I do? How do you feel? You know, what do you need? Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything right to say.
Well, I think it goes back to what you said, and I'm on the same page. And this can be in almost everything in life, which brings us back to, you know, how do you continue to have good relationships? And relationships are work, first of all. They're work. They're not supposed to just be easy peasy. You have to work at it, which requires some hard communication sometime. And we as humans have a tendency to suck at being like, hey, how are you feeling with everything? And I'm not trying to gloss over and say everything matters. I'm just saying in general I'm just saying as humans, this is a big flaw in the system in general that only makes it worse in something that is a little more painful, like what's happening. We don't like conflict, so we don't ask. You know, I remember like when my father died and nobody really said, how are you feeling? Because nobody knows how to talk about death, right?
Oh, gosh, no.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's comfortable with that conversation. And so then you start to feel isolated and alienated. And I know this is nowhere near what African Americans experience. This is how I'm finding a way to relate, as to find an empathy point, right? Nobody understands that. No one talks to you about it. And then you're sitting there feeling alone, like no one gets you. And then you get angry because you're like, why is no one reaching out to me to see how I am? And then you become bitter, right? So it's that train of emotions. So think about that with anything that you don't understand that makes you uncomfortable, then you need to get out of your comfort zone, push yourself and go, ask those hard questions and go get educated and go say, how are you feeling? I know nothing about being Black. I know nothing about someone dying. I know nothing about cancer. I know nothing about divorce. I know nothing about whatever it is. People become so uncomfortable. So until you have those hard conversations and take the higher road with it, you know, I did personal reach outs to people last week. Similar. I was like, what can I do or say? Because I can't, I'm not going to pretend I know what to do or say. And the response I got from everyone I talked to was, stand by me. And put it out on social media that you stand by me. I'm like, all right, keep feeding me the thing. Like, I don't know what the things are.
And the things are so, it feels unnatural and uncomfortable. And I'll tell you another quick story that happened yesterday. It feels uncomfortable because we don't, it's not a habit. The habit is to just kind of brush it aside. So yeah. After my friend was like, just when you want to say something, just say, I stand by you. Right. So I tried it yesterday. So awkward. And I felt so weird about it. But the reason is because I'm sure that this gentleman was as astounded that it came out of my mouth as I was uncomfortable saying it. So I had a service provider come to my house yesterday, and this is with Marshall's Pest Control, who I've used for years and years. Mr. Marshall is a wonderful human being in Georgetown County in South Carolina. And he has done, you know, always done my pest control with, it's always like members of his family. And he has, just go look him up. He's great. So this guy came over from Marshall's Pest Control, and this was an older gentleman. Like, he was probably 50, 60. I don't know. He was old enough. He had a little gray in his hair. Super nice. Came through and did my pest service. And then I was like, I just have to say something. I just want to say something. And it felt so awkward. And as he was leaving, I put my hand on his arm and I said, I'm not sure what to say in these situations, but I just feel like I want to say to you that I stand by you. And he looked at me and he didn't even know what to say, Gina. He was probably like somebody like him that may have been through some of the civil rights movements. Like, he might've been old enough to be through some of that. Like, what went through his head and the look on his face. And he didn't say anything for a second. And then he said, thank you. I appreciate that. That's good to know. And I think he was so uncomfortable. Like, he couldn't even believe that that just happened. And I wondered going, as he went home or went back to his family or went back to Mr. Marshall's. And I was thinking about him this morning of like, was he thinking that was some bullshit? Was he thinking, wow, that was really nice? Was he thinking, I wish more people would say something like that? I don't know what he was thinking. The only thing I know is that I feel like, as uncomfortable as I was doing that, that those small, uncomfortable things is what we should be doing. Because what I have heard from all of the people that I've spoken to who are Black men and women is that they just want to know that you're acknowledging that this shit has been going on. So the all lives matter, to go back to what you were saying, Gina, is that when you're saying all lives matter, you're actually saying, all that stuff is not even actually true. We're all equal. Everything's
well,
fine.
You're lumping everybody together.
Everybody's like, fine.
Like, everybody is equal.
Yeah. And by saying that, it's like saying, and again, referencing the White Fragility book, she says, if you are saying that and you're like, well, I'm coming to work and I feel comfortable, so then you, even though you're Black, you should feel comfortable because I feel comfortable. But it's actually diminishing what's really going on, which is a very, very real racial profiling. And it still exists. And it's not going to be gone tomorrow. It's a real slow burn. I mean, here's another really great point. Today is, when we're recording this episode, it's a voting day. It's a primary election. And I'm leaving here after this podcast to go vote. And what is pointed out in the White Fragility book is that women were granted the right to vote in 1920, whatever it was, because a bunch of white men decided that they could. The civil rights bills were passed in the 60s because a bunch of white men decided that they were going to finally allow that. And you look at the statistics, which she lays out, I mean, the statistics of the music industry, the statistics of politics, that's a hard word to say over and over.
The numbers.
The numbers don't lie when you're looking at management, CEOs, the 10 richest people in the world. You know, overall, it's in the 80s and 90 percentile in all of those examples is white men. And none of that is going to change really quickly, but it can change by us exercising our right to vote. The fact that, you know, women did fight for the right to vote, the fact that black men and women did fight for their right to vote, there's a lot of people out there not utilizing that right. And that is where actual real change can happen. And this is not about politics right now. It's about, you know, your rights, that if you want real change, your fucking opinion on Facebook doesn't really matter. Your vote matters.
I was just going to say that. Like,
say it again for us.
People think that just giving their opinion on Facebook is affecting change.
No.
And that's not what's affecting change. That's just creating more divide and more rage.
That's right. So to repeat, your opinion on Facebook doesn't fucking matter as much as your actions, which includes a very powerful right that you have, that all of us have. If you're above the age of 18, go fucking vote, please. Thank you. And that's for whatever you believe in. Because if you're going to be out there grandstanding about, I'm not choosing a side here. I don't talk politics. Won't talk politics. But whichever side you stand on, if you're going to bitch about it on Facebook, you better be out there voting for it to support that claim.
Or being part of the solution in some way.
Yeah. Like there's no reason that you can't vote. I mean, although I know a lot of people will argue that there's long lines and da 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 da. And that's okay if you have things that you got to do. That's fine.
Don't complain.
That's right. I have somebody really close to me who was bitching a blue streak about a certain election that happened. And I was like, well, did you vote? Well, no, because the lines were so long. And then I'm like, shut the fuck up then. Don't bitch about it if you aren't willing to be a part of what the decision is.
And be part of the discomfort, which comes back to how Rachel tried to break up with me. Actually, she tried to break up with me and Keith, just so we're clear, because Keith is part of the quotient. It's about putting the work in. It's putting the work in. And I think I had said this to you at some point in our conversation, it's like, you know, is the relationship worth it or is it disposable? Some relationships are disposable. I think we get worked up. I'm just saying you and I, if we get worked up towards each other, it's because we care. We care about each other. We care what the other person thinks. And that's why it becomes a little more challenging. The closer you are to someone, the more difficult a relationship can be. Because you care. And if it was somebody else, it'd be like, yeah, whatever, get the fuck out.
Unfriend. Yeah, you can pretty much assume that if I unfriended you on Facebook, then easily you don't matter enough for the conversation. Like, you know, there's people.
And that would have really frankly pissed me off
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, like, there's people. I've got like thousands of Facebook friends and I love you all. And some of you I've unfriended.
Yeah, I mean, I've unfriended a lot of people because there was like no true investment in the relationship. It's like, don't like you anymore, so goodbye. Like Facebook friends are not relationships.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to like, okay, there was some book that I've read along the way. I mean, so many books. I love books. How the people that really, really matter, think about this for a second. Who would show up to your funeral if you died tomorrow?
Well, a lot of people would show up just to make sure I was dead.
But seriously, though, we worry so much about the what people think about us. So who really matters? Now, Gina was the only friend that was invited to my wedding, actually. We had such a small wedding. I only had family. I would have had it even smaller if I could have.
I was actually thinking about all that when I got the fucking email from you. I was like, what the?
I wasn't breaking up with you as a friend. I was breaking up with you as a podcast partner.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that clarity in the email.
Yeah. It was just, you couldn't see through the smoke of the grenade. But, you know, really think about it. If somebody, it goes down to like, if there's a thorn in your eye, pluck it out. So that's been my decision maker on a lot of Facebook friends. Because there was a time in my life where I Facebook friended every fucking buddy. If you had a pulse, like, yay, let me get my Facebook account, exactly. Right? So if you really drilled it down to the people that mattered to me, I probably wouldn't have that many Facebook friends. But I use Facebook for business. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I see somebody on Facebook who is just, their opinion is so loudly counter to what I believe fundamentally, I just unfriend them now. I don't know. It's just, it's causing so much strife. And let me tell you something. If you're stressed out, just delete Facebook off your phone for about
3 days. Oh, yeah.
You will be amazed. Yeah. It'll still be there when you get back.
Yeah. But I mean, I took alerts off so that the Facebook's still on my phone, but I don't see alerts. I don't see things come in. So I'm not like checking my phone like I used to, you know, like you see the little dot that there's a text message, you know, I'll look at that. But now I'm like, I don't look at Facebook like I was.
Yeah, it does here's create a pro tip so for much you stress. People. Here's a pro tip for you out there. If you'd like to increase your business productivity at all, turn off all alerts on your phone, mm-hmm. aside from text messages, because that is just distracting you from, I mean, even if it's just lunch with a friend and you have Facebook dinging you, like there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it at all.
Yeah.
Just my pro tip.
Just now, here's my pro tip. This is on my list. We hit everything on the list, believe it or not. Not that we really script these things, but there were things I wanted to make sure that we hit. There was a list. There is one thing I do want to share. Uh-oh. So here's another pro tip is our use of Marco Polo.
Ah, yes.
I actually talked to my therapist about this today. About how Marco Polo is a great platform to share something you're thinking, like a talking stick. If anyone's familiar with a talking stick, someone holds the talking stick and only they can talk. The other person must listen and not interrupt.
So hard.
Not always.
See,
so hard to do.
I just did it right there.
Right? Like clockwork. So Marco Polo still allows you to speak your mind on video without being interrupted. And then the person watching you, you know, they can take their time absorbing and listening and processing. That was really what Keith's like, call her and hold space for her and let her process. You gotta love Keith. Not many men would say that.
Notice he's not here right now. He's like, I'm going to let him work that out. I'll be back. I'll be in Costa Rica eating chocolate.
He called. He's like, so I texted him over the week and I'm like, problem recovered or something like that. And he's like, then he texts me. He's like, so can we talk like what happened? What happened?
He can hear it on this episode.
Yeah, he can learn on this episode. So. Marco Polo, now we have this thing. If we want to share something with each other, well, we do this in general anyway, but to share something difficult, because I did share something difficult with Rachel that was still bothering me. If you do it on Marco Polo on video, and you do it in macho voice effect, it's really hard to take it too personally or be mad about it because you're just trying to get through the message on Marco Polo. I don't know if you can hear.
So I am doing this Marco Polo to you as an example of what it sounds like in macho voice, so that when we are recording our show today about how we almost broke up, people can hear what it sounds like when I play it back. So, and Keith has the invitation if he wants to join us, if he dares. I think he's just happy that he did not have to get involved. No offense, he's a man. That's not his forte. So, talk to you in a bit.
Macho voice. Okay, so yeah, disclaimer. Gina and I, we do really enjoy Marco Polo app, and it is, it really was some of the stuff that Gina shared with me over the weekend as we came to a landing in our conflict, if you will. It is, it's like you're actually talking to somebody, but then they're not interrupting, which is really helpful for what she needed to share with me. And we did make a pact that from now on, we have to do it all in macho voice because it's too funny. Everything's better in macho voice, I think.
Maybe that should be the name of this episode.
Everything's better in macho voice.
Macho voice.
I'm not sure if macho voice is meant to be... Like, I think I sound a little bit like... I don't know that I sound that macho. Is it supposed to be like macho, macho man? Like, kind of...
I sound like
a gay man on a Saturday night after now three drinks.
Oh, you just offended some gay men. Oh, no. Here we go.
I love gay men.
No, I know.
But
what do you mean? We all sound like that? What?
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, I think, and that's another group of people that would love for you to ask them how they feel. You know, it's
that was sort of my point earlier. It's like, we all have different walks in life, and we all have different challenges. But if we want to make it better and make the world better, we have to be hyper aware and reach out and ask, mm-hmm. and not wait for some incredible tragedy to happen that now causes us to do it.
And you know, you'll be amazed by what you hear. You'll be amazed by what you hear. You really, really will. And I think that, to go back to what David Goggins said, that Black lives matter, and the only way that they really will matter is when white people decide that they agree that Black lives matter, and we decide that we're going to make changes in how we operate, yeah, as a race.
So, in conclusion...
We're still going to piss some people off with that. But, you know.
We're still going to piss some people off, but it's about
being... I'm okay with pissing off the right people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is that saying you're open to controversy? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I guess so. I just put it out there and said my macho voice sounded like a gay man, so I guess so.
So again, you know, this show really is about being a platform that helps lift other people up and give people a voice and give people courage to have a voice. And that includes ourselves, because sometimes we don't have maybe the courage, or we don't know how to do it. And that's always been the whole point of this. And sometimes it'll piss people off. We don't mean to. We're always on our own quest to learn and be better humans. So at the end of the day, to me, it's about how can we be better humans, period.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting that you say that, because my CEO of U.S. Mortgage sent me an email today, and he said, I've got a question for you. Who's better than you? And I sent back, that's a really good question. I said, I'm always looking for the better version of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, I personally would like to think, this could be true or not true, that I'm not better than anybody else. Fundamentally, I'm not better than anyone else. And today, I hope that I'm better than the person I was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was going to finish your sentence. Yeah. Yeah, we should, if we could strive to be better today than we were yesterday. That's, if I could be better right now than I was an hour ago when I was in therapy crying.
I look better than I looked an hour ago, sweaty after working out. No, seriously though, I think it's a great way to be. And as in business too, if you don't look at your competition and try to be better than them, but try to be better at what you are doing each day.
Yeah.
Strive to be better. Strive to be someone that anyone, regardless of their gender, race, or beliefs, would like to interact with. And it's uncomfortable sometimes, and it's worth it.
You know, in improv, we have a phrase, it's actually part of the audition process. It's on the audition evaluation, and it's, is this person the player everybody wants to play with? So it's about the people that you bring into your group. You know, are you bringing value that people just want to be around you because you make them feel good?
Does not play well with others. Sticker.
Well, here's what's beautiful about you is that you are really good at being vulnerable and humble. And I mean, sometimes getting there with you is a little painful or challenging when you're tossing grenades. Not always the easiest, but after the aftermath and the dust settles and I come out wiping the dust off.
Yeah. I'm not as good at throwing grenades as I am at throwing knives or, axes. We're going to go with axe throwing. You know what? I saw somebody on Facebook throwing axes the other day. We're going to have a live event where we're at the axe throwing place.
Yeah, we should do that, and we'll take video and put it on our Patreon page. So in case you have not visited our Patreon page where we have little special bonuses, go check it out at patreon.com/Warners. And just in recap, as we wrap up the show, a couple just reminders of things for you to go look at to be resources for yourself. See the movie When They See Us. That's on Netflix.
That's a series. And also, there's a movie called Just Mercy, which is really good. And actually, they're streaming that for free. You can watch that.
Okay. And then the book White Fragility, another resource for you. So there are resources out there. Marco Polo, also a great resource for your relationships, any kind of relationship. And then you want to make sure you use macho voice. So those are our some resources. And we hope that this conversation was helpful in how not to lose relationships with people that are important to you over things that just are unclear, uncertain, uncomfortable, that require some investment of time. So we hope that was helpful. And Rachel and I managed to do the show without hurting each other. So,
yeah, no one cried either.
Nobody cried.
Yeah.
And I was even like, when we were looking at our schedule, I'm like, do I really want to do the episode at this time? Because I literally just got out of my therapy session. I'm like, I'm going to be raw. But I did good. I got all my crying out before I got here. Fantastic. So that is our show. Any closing words for you, Rachel, for this episode?
I just think be open, be willing to be wrong, be willing to take action, even if it's uncomfortable. But really, it's okay. I think the biggest change will happen from people that look at themselves and say, shit, I've really been operating in a way that is contributing to the problem. And that, you know, even the author of that book, White Fragility, she points out scenarios where she has been wrong in her thinking and her actions. And I think that's where the biggest change will come in, when people are willing to admit that they're wrong. And that's, you know, that's a hard thing to do. And I've had to admit that I was wrong in certain things that I've said to Gina even in our conversation, our makeup conversation, or like makeup sex. Like, you, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to fuck up. It's okay to make a misstep. Yeah. Just be willing to go, oh, that was really not the right thing, the way to handle it, you know? It's okay.
And even that little thing of saying that, God, that helps with someone else's emotions on the other end of it. You know, everyone's different. I have a tendency to beat myself up over, you know, this is my baggage of never feeling like I'm, and this is for the people closest to me, never feeling like I please them enough or I'm doing the right thing, or, you know, always coming from a place of like, oh God, I didn't do that right again. So if you're someone with those kind of baggage issues, if someone can come to you and say, I was wrong with that, it helps validate that person who clearly is like, the last thing I ever want to do is hurt Rachel, right? Or piss her off or not be a good friend, right? It's like not my MO whatsoever. So it hurts me to hurt anybody else in my life that's important to me. And it also, like, well, and who wants to hurt anybody, honestly, unless you're like a
sometimes
psycho.
I want to hurt people. see the episode on axes and exes. Just, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, this was, I know I feel good. Do you feel good?
I feel it. I got all the feels.
You got out of the feels. Okay, excellent. So that is the episode about how Rachel and I almost broke up and this podcast almost ended. Well, it would have still kept going, just with a different blonde, probably. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Who knows? I was like, Jesus, this is the last thing I have time to think about.
Where
now.
Where am I going to find a blonde with as nice a boobs as her?
Exactly. But this was the episode about how we almost broke up and found a way back to each other. And staying on point to try to be the best humans that we can be. So thanks for listening to us. I know this is a longer episode, but hopefully that you will take some things with you to make yourself a better human. To learn more about our show or me or Rachel or Keith, you can visit womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Again, you can also visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Warners, and you can find everything you need to find about us and the show and about the man behind the women. That is it. I think it's time for us to go.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, Warners. Bye, Keith.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.